Well, let me get a sip of water here. So yesterday we did a great big celebration, didn't we? The whole country celebrated St. Valentine's Day. Everybody got little heart-shaped candy boxes. If you didn't, oops, you got a card with some sentiment written on it. You didn't? Oops. Well, but you know what? You pretty much everybody knows my opinion on commercialized holidays. Christmas, we commercialized it. We took away Jesus. St. Valentine's Day is the exact same thing. What we experience now started in about 1868 when a man named Richard Cadbury. Anybody know the last name? Right? Cadbury Eggs. He took an opportunity due to an author named Chaucer from the 1300s who had written a poem about, I forget what they call it, but it's basically birds who act like people. If you want to know what I'm talking about, go look at Zootopia, Finding Nemo, any Bambi, any cartoon or anything where we take creatures and we make them human. And he started writing that and kind of connected it to February 14th. Everybody's like, cha-ching, here comes the money, right? That's what it's all about. Everything is about money and power. And they equate power to money. If you think I'm kidding, think again. People are protesting because they're getting paid. And they have no idea what they're protesting. We've done it in the church on so many other things. But this one in particular, I'm just like, Lord, I've heard some things. I mean, because, you know, what we're really celebrating on that day is the day that Valentine of Torino was beheaded. There were no hearts, no cupids flying around, no little birds kissing. He was beheaded because he dared to take a stand against the Roman Empire. Claudius II had issued an edict that soldiers, and between the Catholic references I've read and just regular references, so it's up and down whether it was all soldiers or just Christian soldiers. Both Catholic references I looked at said Christian, and I can believe that. And you say, well, why did you go there? Well, because he was a Catholic priest. I'm not going to go to the Protestant website to find out about a Catholic priest. And so they both said it was because they were Christians. And Valentine, he didn't agree with this. As a matter of fact, he believed that marriage was more than just a legal piece of paper. And it is. I even bring it up in my, when I'm marrying you. It's more than that. Yeah, it's a legal agreement. Yeah, yada, yada, yada. But most importantly, it's an agreement between you and God. And that's how he saw it. He saw it more sacred. And so he began marrying these soldiers. Now, from one aspect, like I said, there's so much. We're talking 269. That's been a few years ago. Things weren't always written down. We don't always have nobody was there with their iPhone. Let's record this. Let's record the proceedings. Okay, we got it for history. Oh, wait a minute. No, we don't. And so we don't know everything that took place, but we do know that he started marrying these soldiers. Now, where I was going a second ago, even when I served and many other guys and those who served in the Vietnam era and before, at least the Marine Corps had this saying, if we wanted you to have a wife, we would have issued you a wife. As a matter of fact, if you were not an E-4 or above, you were not allowed to get married in the Marine Corps during Vietnam. So a lot of guys got married before. They even enlisted. They couldn't stop that. Because the Marine Corps thought, we don't want your thought being on mama at home. We want your thought in the battle. As a matter of fact, they kind of started backtracking some of their thinking when, I want to say it was the early 70s or 60s. I believe it was a MiG-29. Latest, greatest thing Russia had put out. Well, we didn't have any information on it. We didn't know a whole lot about it. We just knew it was fast. It was high tech, and it was a weapon to be dealt with. Well, one of their pilots decided to defect. He landed at an American base and surrendered. Right then and there, the United States Air Force realized, we have this thing flying around the world right now. It's top secret. It can outrun rockets. It can do, nobody can stand it or be near it because it's just so stinking fast. And that was the SR-71. I still think it's an awesome piece of equipment. And they said, okay, from this day forward, we no longer make single pilots in charge of those. You will have a family back here in the States. If you defect, you're leaving your family behind. And that was the thing with that Russian pilot. He had nobody. He was done with communism. He said, I'm out of here. No family to go back to. Well, we don't know if that's what he was thinking, what Claudius was thinking. But we just know that Valentine said, no. I don't agree with the state saying that. Now, you need to remember as well, the Christian faith was not accepted in the Roman Empire yet. That wouldn't be until Constantine in about 325. So until then, Christians were still being persecuted because they believed that there's a greater king than Claudius and all the others. And so he continued to marry people. One of the traditional fables on Valentine was that while he was in prison, the jailer, jailer's daughter, was blind. And he prayed for her, and she got her eyesight. It's either between 44 and 46 people gave their lives to Jesus because of that. And one of the little things that the, again, fable, myth, we don't know, was that he left her a note and he signed it, Your Valentine. Because that's his name. It's not a card. It's not a thing. He signed it, Your Valentine. And so that's where we get Be My Valentine. What people don't realize is to be my Valentine really means I'll give up my life for you. See, Jesus taught us in John 15:13, he said, no greater love is any man than he would give up his life for his friends. He said, and I lay mine down willingly. When I join a man and a woman together to become husband and wife, I fully expect both of them to lay aside their single lives and join and make one life. Because the Bible says you are now one. You have to lay aside. It's not saying that, you know, you don't go fishing anymore. It's saying your buddy no longer has priority over your wife. Ladies, your girlfriends don't have priority over your husband. And all of you, if your BFF is not sitting next to you or your spouse, you screwed up. You need to work that out. They need to be your best friend. Because a friend that will know you closer than a brother, a friend that's going to put up with your garbage. Thank God. We can all say that. Because if we're going to rightly judge ourselves, we're like, yeah, I probably put them through more than they needed to be. We should be each other's Valentine every day, not just February 14th. We should lay down our lives for our spouse, our dreams. Now, it's not saying that you can't have a dream and that your dreams don't come together. When Angela and I were dating and we started really feeling that God was moving us closer together, we started talking about things that people that only been dating for a month don't really talk about. Ooh, I like that house. And I started sharing with her my vision. My vision of taking an old house and modifying it, making it cool. Because, you know, really, old houses aren't really all that cool. They're just like, they were utilitarian. They built them for what they had. 10 kids, all right, we got a couple bedrooms up here. Everybody crammed into one bedroom. Well, now we don't have that. But they didn't have bathrooms inside the house. So, you know, we had to figure out a room for that and all that. And so we kept going on. We'll just build a new house or we'll buy a newer home. Our first home was knocking on 100 years old when we bought it. By the time the year we sold it, it turned 100. And God moved us to a house that was older than that yet. But I'm going to tell you what God did was, first off, God told her to follow me and her dreams would be fulfilled. She hated that house. She cried. There's mouse traps on the counter, honey. It stinks. I didn't care. Look at the barn, man. It's awesome. So I had to make her a promise. I'll redo the kitchen. And I kept that promise. But in that, what God did was he took my dream. There was still a little bit of that part of me that was alive. I had long since threw away my plans. And what God did was he took our two dreams as we laid down our own personal reference. She grew up in an old farmhouse. She knew what they were really like. They're fun until they're not. And if you got to work on them, well, you know, I know the house that she grew up in had some really big beams in it. Ours had some really hard ones because they were hickory, oak, maple. And you dulled drill bits drilling through them. You broke screws, bent nails. But God took our two dreams and he melted them together. People wonder, why is it taking so long? Because our dream's still developing. It's still coming along. About the time we think we're done, we both get the same wild hair. And it's like, I don't know if I can take much more of these wild hairs. I'm getting older here and I'm not liking to be on floors. And so God, you just need to provide more money for that. But you see, the world and even part of the church still thinks that Valentine's Day is about the butterflies, right? Let's be honest. How long after you got married did the butterflies disappear? About the first time you had to pick up his dirty drawers off the floor? About the time you had to have the talk about leaving food in places it shouldn't be left? Or here's a great one. Do you mind wiping the toothpaste spittle off of the mirror? Or maybe it was the toothpaste tube. Do you know that is one of the number one triggers for people fighting in marriage counseling? One person squeezes it, one person rolls it. I'm the squeeze it up, roll it up. My wife, and you know what I said? Lord, every day I will get up, I will lay it flat, and I will push it up so she can squeeze it. 35 years I've been doing that. I wipe the sink down every time, primarily because of the Marine Corps. You didn't dare walk away from the sink or the mirror, look all covered in toothpaste. But you see, we lay down our lives. That's what we're supposed to do as a husband and wife, is to lay down our life for each other. And if your friends are interfering with your marriage, are they really your friends? Friends don't do that. I cut a friend off because he's simply made a statement. It wasn't a bad statement. It was just I knew how he really felt about her. And I knew I better walk away. You see, marriage is so much more than the butterflies. It's sticking beside each other when you're having that bad day. And you're having a bad week, maybe bad month, maybe bad year. You suck it up, put your big boy, big girl britches on, and you keep marching. You keep going forward. Doesn't mean you can't sit down and talk about it. What's going on? Let me help you out. The accusatory attitude doesn't work for good. You come across and you accuse somebody, all it does is throw them on the defense. You think I'm kidding? I'll speak from personal. What is your problem? Wrong attitude to go into something. Male or female. Just going to tell you right now, it doesn't always work out for you. What's bothering you? Rub their feet. Rub their shoulders. You got something on your mind because your shoulders are tense. See, love goes beyond the feeling. Maybe Boston was into something. It's more than a feeling. Because St. Valentine believed that it was a sacrament to God, marriage. You keep praying for them. You keep loving them. I have to keep thinking of Smith Wigglesworth. He was an awful man. Now, the church only knows him as this great prophet who spoke and healed and did all. He beat his wife. He would kick her out of the house. She'd come back in the next morning and make his breakfast until that man got saved. And then he turned the world in England upside down. She prayed him in. She loved him through it all. She held on. Love isn't a feeling. It's not the butterflies. It's not the, oh. Those are great things, aren't they? I love looking over at my wife. Yeah. I got to read something here from this one particular site. But the Christian understanding is different. Love is willing the good of the other, even at cost to you. St. Valentine did not die for romance. He died because marriage reflects Christ's covenant with his church. He defended the dignity of the sacrament. That is why the church remembers him. Today, relationships often collapse under the weight of expectations. We expect somebody to perform like we want them to perform. Here, everybody judge yourself. If they were treating me like I'm treating them, how would I feel? And ladies and gentlemen, you may have to say something because sometimes it takes an understanding. Okay, I'm not saying that it just, ooh, it all magically goes away. Sometimes you can say things. Honey, why are you treating me like this? We look for constant feelings instead of faithful commitment, but St. Valentine reminds us love is proven by sacrifice, not sentiment. The world celebrates feelings on the 14th, the church celebrates fidelity. Marriage is not sustained by butterflies, it is sustained by grace. That's what does it. Grace is the power to overcome and the power to stick. So many women and even men. I throw that in there because most of the time you will not hear the man talk about how he was treated. We hear about it from the women because they don't get it out there. And we feel sorry for them. But do you know how many women I know beat their husbands too? And he wouldn't lift a hand to defend himself. It's not right on either side. I'll just tell you all one thing that you can all live by. If you don't want hit, don't raise your hand to strike somebody. And don't stick your face in a fight. That's another way to get hit. Don't raise your hand. You're asking for a fight. I do not agree whatsoever with a man striking a woman. Combat's a different deal. I'm just going to tell you right now. That's why we've hamstrung our troops for years. Don't hit a woman. Don't hit a woman. Well, problem is, she's coming across the battlefield with an AK-47 and a bomb. And women have fought in battles a lot over the years. There's even one in, I can't remember exactly what book it is, but she caught the guy. He was a general being chased, and she drove a tent peg through his temple. That's dang. That's vicious. Hey, the guy you're looking for, he's kind of dead tired right now. I hope that the church starts celebrating more of God's grace every day. Ladies and gentlemen, in your marriage, start celebrating the grace. The grace that God has given you. Enjoy the time. You're allowed to be apart. I know a couple people that they're, like I said, the one's being tracked. If he stops for 10 minutes, his wife is messaging, why are you still there? That's not love. That's control. Unfortunately for both of them, I know more about their marriage than they thought. But that's not love. I tell my wife when I'm leaving, men, if you do not have the stones to say, honey, I'm going here, I'll be gone for a while. You're not asking permission. I don't ask for permission to go out. For crying out loud. I had to check out every time I left the barracks. Every time. Why? Because somebody needed to know where I was at in the event there was a problem. Hey, I'm going to the north end of the island. I'll be back Sunday. All right, at least we know where you're at. That you're not dead. Or you didn't jump on a boat and head to some other country. It's called responsibility. Accountability. I tell my wife, hey, I'm going. By the way, you know, I give her a kiss. Why not? I like kissing. Kisses are good. But there's people, I don't have to tell you where I'm going. Yeah, you might want to check your attitude at the door. It's not that I'm telling you because I need permission. I'm just telling you so that if you need me, you know where I'm at. Honey, I'm going into town. I'm going to the church. I'm going to the office, hon. All right, you go to the office. I'm going to be right here. You go do what you got to do. Honey, I'm going to mom's. Great. At least we know where each other's at. It has nothing to do with one person lording over the other. It's a mutual respect is what it is. But so many people today, no, I'm not telling you. So they secretly track their spouse on their phone. I mean, we tried it on our phone so we could find our phones. The reality is, it's still not working for some reason. I'm like, well, that's good because half the time I leave mine in the truck. If she can't get me on the phone, it's because I just want some quiet. Here's a magical thing about those phones. I got mine in my pocket right now. It's off. And ever since I started turning it off at night, because we have a ring and every time Justin goes to work, at 4:30 in the morning, it goes off and wakes me up. I turn it off. That's for your convenience. Let me remind you, it's for your convenience. If you're with your spouse, feel free to turn it off. Oh, but somebody might need me. Are you going to stop nuclear war? Are you stopping a Holocaust? Turn it off and spend the time with your spouse. Turn it off and spend the time with your children. They need it. They need that unadulterated time. It's called laying down your life. But somebody might need me. No, the problem is you think you're more important than you really are. That's the reality of it. I remember having dinner or lunch one time with a pastor. I was even paying for it. Spent 75% of the time on the phone. Yep. You showed me where I fit in into your life. You do not fit into mine. That was it. That was the last time I had any contact. You're sitting at a meal. This will help most of you too if you're at the restaurant. This is one, honestly, and I'm not the only one I know this chafes. You're sitting there with your spouse and on your phone. I pray to God that the light above your head falls and knocks some sense into you. Husband and wife. Why? Do you know we only get so many days? You get so many days. Is that how you want to be when you're spending your last day with your spouse? I was on my phone. They were 2 feet away from me. I was more interested in that stupid device than I was looking at the love of my life. And that's not the only thing. The phone's just one of those things. Guys, if your wife wants to take a walk, go take a walk. Suck it up, buttercup. A little walking ain't going to hurt you. I will negate the obvious line I was going to go for. But see, St. Valentine spent his time showing what God's love was. He laid down his very life. And he kept ministering to people, even though he was in jail and knew what was coming. They were just waiting to transport him to be murdered. And today, in 1969, the Catholic Church officially dropped him off of their saint calendar, because they have a day for every saint. And they dropped him off of there because there's a couple of Valentines who were priests, and there's conflicting reports of who did what, so they decided to drop it. But because of commercialism, we still celebrate it. But you know what? I think if we take what that man actually did, he loved Jesus more than he loved his own life. I think we all need to get there. That our love for God pours out so much that we don't even think about our own life. Let's stand. And here, you know, I always thought Hallmark was the one that did it. And here it was, the candy guy. And then this other company called the New England Chocolate and Confection Company, or Confectioners Company, jumped on board with, in 1902, they made the hearts. They started making those little candies. Be mine. I love you. You know, the ones you always, oh, look, the cute girl in class gave me I love you. No, she just was walking down through there. No, she didn't know who she gave it to. That would be NECO. For those of you that didn't do the acronym, makes the long candies, the little discs that I prefer, the chocolate ones. Yeah, they're kind of, there's little wafers. Same thing as the hearts. But this gal named, her last name was Howland. She's the one that started the Valentine card as a love letter. This website actually had some interesting things to talk about. You could do for yourself. Instead of buying a card, write a love letter. Instead of participating in what the world thinks Valentine's Day should be real I've written my wife several letters over the years. And when I couldn't be there, I mean, I'd send a gigantic card through the mail just so her friends at college could see it. I mean, it cost me $10 to mail the stupid thing, but if my love is judged by the size of the card, by this, by how big of a box of chocolate I got her, instead of the fact that, honey, I'd die for you every day, then I failed as a husband. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the example we have, first off, of Jesus Christ, who laid his life down for the church, for us, for all mankind, Lord. He gave up everything. He took a beating none of us would ever take. And Father, and through that example, a man named Valentine would see it, and he would believe it, and he would duplicate that, Lord, as an example to the people that look to him of what it means to truly love. Father, may we all remember this. Father, each and every day with our spouses, Lord, that we would lay down the things that are important to us for them. Father, those who are struggling with that concept, Lord, help them. Father, those who are in relationships where it's not good, Lord, I pray right now that you begin to flood that relationship with your peace, with your love. Father, may both parties see the truth. Move mightily, Lord God. And now, Father, I thank you. I thank you for each and every person in here today. Lord God, that you're going before them. Father, you're making their path straight. Lord, you're opening the opportunities to speak into other people's lives, to touch somebody else's life. Father, I thank you for what you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen.